Good evening, and tonight we will look at a section in Luke chapter 19. So I'll read first and then I'll let you stand in the last four verses. So hopefully familiar story. So I titled this message, The Time of Their Visitation. In verse 29, it says, and it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent to his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord had need of him. And they were, and they that went were sent, went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Let's all stand and we'll read the last four verses. So here we have the triumphal entry. So when Jesus was descending from the Mount of Olives, that will be the eastern part of the temple. You can see the temple and it's going down. Really, the story didn't really tell us what really happened when he was there, but he was in the descent. And so we'll pick up here in verse 41. And when he was come near, I think we have this. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. This is really a sad story. And I think throughout the scripture, aside from Lazarus, we hear Christ said he looked at the city, wept over it. In verse 42, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children with thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You may be seated. So we'll just ask a question, because this is a very significant event. So I ask the question, what is the significance of that day? What are the converging prophecies? When I read this, sometimes we think of the prophecies. But yet, these prophecies or Jesus' command are connected somehow. So as we read the scripture, we read the scripture historically. What are the converging prophecies that make this a transitional period? When I got here, it's my first church as a Christian with Brother Romeo Mendoza. We got saved same time. And it was back in 96, 97 when Pastor was here. Pastor Warren came in 96, right? And so he knew we were active Navy and we were here a year and we're ready to transfer in 2 years. So he asked us, what can I do for you? And so Romeo and I remember said, teach us the Bible. No. We got all the traditions, but we want to learn something. And so that started the Men's Saturday Fellowship. So every Saturday. And we started with the basic theology of Ryrie. Ryrie's basic theology. So that I remember from there on, it's every Saturday morning, men will gather. Few of us will gather in there. And so here we can see. So what we learn is you got to read the scripture first historically. You cannot just jump in there. But you have to realize you already have biases, right? We all know something. Either we heard it, we believe it, or we were taught by it. And so one, you have to read it historically first. And that's how you come to put together the scripture. So it helps us in that way to read carefully and not jump into a conclusion until you kind of know these are connected somehow. So tonight, this triumphal entry, this day of visitation, is just like that. It's a period that is transitional when we start putting things together. Here's an example. How do we reconcile Christ's command? In what way this event explains the shift or transition? Let's look at Matthew 10. So think of this. This is the Lord Jesus Christ commanding his apostles. Same group, same Jesus Christ. In verse 5 and 6 of chapter 10 says, these 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city in the Samaritans, enter ye not. Of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in Matthew 28, same group, he said, go ye therefore where? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Looking at that, it's same group, but the command is totally different. We have to somehow come into a place where, what is he saying? Is this an error? Is this contradicting? We know scripture does not have error. You might have tensions, and this is one of those. But somehow we have to look at the scripture and not explain this away. Because there are really two different commands. You go here, not here. But then in Matthew 28 says, you go into all the world. So this is how when we look at the scripture, it helps us if we have the bigger picture. Of course, that takes time. So number one, when we look at this verse, the day of visitation, what's the significance? The first significance is very obvious because the Old Testament, we have to begin there. We have to begin with the Old Testament going to the New. So number one, it was the time of Christ coming to earth. In other words, these are all prophesied before. Isaiah 7:14, one of those very important passages, where therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So one of the obvious ones is when he was present here on earth, he came from above. And it's very clear from the scripture, it says, I'm not from here, I'm from above. And so this is a fulfillment of a prophecy. So when he was entering, that was the time we know he's the Messiah coming to earth. Letter B says, the time of his coming was prophesied in Daniel. So I want us to see that when he came and saw Jerusalem, when he wept, and then he made a declaration, said, if you only know the peace that should come today. But then he said, but now it's hid from your eyes. Because in Daniel prophesied that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So if we look at this, Daniel is saying the angel prophesied to Daniel. They were in exile at this time. And Daniel prayed because he was reading the scripture. Jeremiah said, you will be there 70 years. And so God specifically said, 70 years, then you will be let go. And so Daniel said, Lord, this is about the time. But then it was prophesied that from, in verse 25, know therefore and understand, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 7 and 60 and 2 is, how many is that? 69. I got to do the score. So the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous time. But that is not all. He says after 62 weeks, after that 62. So you have the 7 and then the 62. And then he said, Messiah, be cut off. In other words, this Messiah, the prince, will die. So the prophecies sometimes get confusing. If you put yourself as an Old Testament believer, right? It was like, I know when you read Isaiah 53, that's a lot of problems with that because their idea is this Messiah is king. He will reign and he will deliver us. He will redeem us from our enemies. But yet there are those prophecies that seem like, is this connected or is this somehow different? So, but Jesus wept because it says, and the people of the prince, this is not the Messiah, the prince, this is the Antichrist, shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Jesus saw the judgment coming to Israel when the Romans will come to destroy the city and the temple in AD 70. In other words, the prophecy happened in AD 70. Luke 19:41 said, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. So Jesus, the prophet, priest, and king, as a prophet, he saw it and wept because they didn't know what that time meant for the nation and for their leadership. So what do we know? The 70 weeks is really weeks of years, so it's 490 years. But it says, it gives us time. It says from the decree, this was in Nehemiah chapter 2. Artaxerxes says, build the wall. To what? To the coming of Messiah the Prince is 483 years. Messiah will be cut off somehow after that 69th week, somewhere the 483 years at the end of it. When we know in history now, it was the crucifixion. So this was really 44 BC to 33 AD, 483 years. But we are missing the last 7 weeks. I made a mistake. 1 week, the last 7 years. So in this case, when we look at the prophecy, there are four distinct groups that responded in different way, right? Different ways to the coming of Messiah. So what are that? Those who heard the news of the birth of Messiah, we know this, the shepherd in the field, they were given. They were the first one to proclaim the Messiah was born. Then we have the wise men. And so these are known, this was revealed, but there are others who knew about this Messiah is coming. When we read the scripture, it's about that time. Herod the king heard it from the wise men. So they heard the news. And number two, those who wondered if he was the Messiah. There's a lot of these. Many who followed Jesus but doubted. So here in John 10, I'm just going to read the last verse. They were asking him. Then came the Jews around him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. So they were not sure if he's the Messiah, because there are those that said, yeah, he is the Messiah. Another group who should have known but missed the Messiah. We know the leadership, the Jewish people and Pharisees, they did not investigate because they will not believe. Jesus said that much. You will not believe. John 7:4, others said, this is the Christ, but some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? So these people all know their scripture. They're not just rejecting. They know the scripture. This man is from Galilee. And what did they say? Let me just read the last one. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Are they correct? Yes, they are correct. So they say, look. But they did not investigate, because really he came from Nazareth in Galilee. But where was he born? We know that because the scripture, and he was born in Bethlehem. But they would not believe. But they are not ignorant of their scripture. Really, someone said, I wonder, Kibuloy, some of you, he's a Filipino, what do you call it? Heretic, right? It's a cult. Basically, he declared himself to be the appointed Son of God. So the first question is he Jewish? How can he be? No, he's not. He's a Filipino, right? So they knew their scripture. They said, it's from Galilee. No way. They believed the scripture. The problem is they did not investigate that, because Christ said, you will not believe. Then there's the fourth group. Those who waited and looked for the Messiah. In Luke 2, Simeon. And I'll just read this, what it says for Simeon here, for the highlighted portion. Because he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In verse 26, it said, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so this is known, if they have read, and they did, the Old Testament. Daniel specifically said, these are the number of years. Daniel just prayed, because Jeremiah said, Daniel, you'll be there 70 years. And Daniel looked, it was the 70th year. And now it says 483 years. And so somewhere there, the Messiah will be born, because he will be killed. He will be cut off at the end of that 69th week. In Luke 2, 30 to 32 says, and here's Simeon, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But very interesting in verse 32, a light to lighten whom? The Gentiles. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Wait a minute. You got Gentiles, you got Israel. Well, they should know that because of Abrahamic covenant. So this Simeon, and the second was Anna, prophetess. Again, the highlighted section, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for the redemption in Israel. And lastly, there's a statement in Luke and in Mark about Joseph of Arimathea, saying, the same had not consented to the council, that Sanhedrin, and the deeds of them. In other words, he did not agree with what they did to Christ. He was of Arimathea, city of the Jews. He said, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. Overall, the prophecy is when the Messiah comes, he's the king, he will redeem them from their enemies. That's how they view it. But somehow there are scriptures that seems like this is in contrast with other texts. So number two, what do we know about this event? Again, first of all, it is the time of Christ coming to earth. but also it's the time of Christ's kingdom on earth. This is probably what they are highlighting, the coming king and his kingdom on earth. Isaiah 9:6. Again, I'll just read the highlight portion. We just want to see the big picture here. The government shall be upon his shoulder. You know, when Christ was here on earth, did he establish the government, the kingdom, to be the governor? No, he was crucified. Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. So some will say, well, there are two thoughts, right? There's the covenantal theology, where they think Israel has been replaced by the church. But I think we're more dispensational, because that's how we read from the scripture. As we read the scripture, we see this. Where's the throne of David? What do you think they think when Isaiah said throne of David? Is it heaven? No, I'm sure they know it's Jerusalem. And I'm sure they know it's a kingdom will be established there. So the coming king, that is their focus on that. Letter B says, Jesus publicly presented himself to Israel as their coming Messiah. It is the time Christ's kingdom on earth. But Zechariah 9:9 said, and this is what they were saying when he was on the way to Jerusalem. They say, Hosanna in the highest, right? Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. What do you think Jesus is saying when he say, get that colt, and I'm going down humbly into that Jerusalem? Is that an accident? No, exactly. People knew. That's the reason why, what did the Pharisees said to the people shouting these? Rabbi, better stop them. But Jesus said, hey, if I stop them, the stone themselves will cry out. We'll have a witness that I am the Messiah. Matthew 21 clearly stated, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. This is the converging of prophecies in that specific time, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophets. Very clear. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. When they look at the Old Testament, they know this is the Messiah. But they also know he is the king. That's why a lot of times you see it, they call him King Messiah in the prophecy. He publicly presented himself to Israel as their coming Messiah. There's a third, you may say, prophecy or truth that came out of this. It was the time Christ's people rejected his rule. This is where the expectation is very clear from the scripture. They know they are waiting for this coming Messiah. They were expecting Christ to establish his earthly kingdom now. So when you look at the triumphal entry, there's a lot of prophecy that are converging, but yet the overall thrust of their idea is, this is the king that will redeem us, that will save us. But there are those other prophecies that kind of out of place, or at least they can't connect. In Luke 19, 11 to 12, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they taught that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, then he talked to them about the parable of the nobleman. Now think about this. They say, we are now going to Jerusalem, and here's the Messiah. he is now going to establish the kingdom. But what was the parable of the nobleman? Well, the parable of the nobleman in Luke 19, this was before we looked at our text. But the his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man reign over us." So Jesus knew their expectation. Jesus knew the scripture. He knew the overall thrust of their understanding. But he corrected them with a parable, basically saying they will reject. Remember, the parable says he is coming to inherit the kingdom, and then he will leave and he will return again for that kingdom. Last but not least, John 1:11. His own people did not accept him. In verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. So hopefully you're looking at what Messiah will reign, but yet there are statements of Christ that says, no, they will reject me. But very interesting is Daniel. So they know, that's why those people knew that he was coming at that particular period. There are those who knew the Messiah is coming at that particular period. So what are those prophecies that converging? It was the time of Christ coming to earth. It was the time of Christ coming kingdom on earth. But thirdly, it was the time of Christ people rejected his rule. So how can that be? How can that be? The prophecy both have, he's going to come and reign when he comes, and yet he will be cut off. Because there's a fourth prophecy here, or not prophecy, but the concept of the convergence. Number four. It was the time Christ's kingdom was postponed. So this is where our church stands with what we call the system of theology called dispensationalism. Dispensational theology. Well, what does it mean? Well, as we read the scriptures, somehow we have to connect these things. How can it be that all these prophecies point to Messiah coming and establishing the kingdom, and yet there are those prophecies that somehow said, no, he will be crucified? Well, they don't know if it's crucified, but cut off. But I think the clearest one is Isaiah 53, like I mentioned. How can we insert Isaiah 53 in all these prophecies? Just like Matthew 10 and Matthew 28. How can you read that and say, oh yeah, this is what Christ meant in Matthew 10. This is what he meant in Matthew 28. There must be a transition somewhere, or else it doesn't make sense. We have to make sense of that. So I think our understanding that it was the time Christ's kingdom was postponed to reveal the mystery of the church. Why do we say that? Because there are prophecies that are yet future. Remember how we read the scripture historically first. We have to do that. How did Abraham understood the covenants? How did David understood the covenants? How did Moses understood that? How did Daniel grab the hold of those prophecies? But as we look at this scripture, now we find, wait a minute, there are some things that are not going to happen until later on. So letter A in the notes there, his earthly kingdom was postponed. In Luke 19:42 says, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. some reason, there are things that should have happened during that time, but it did not. Acts 1:6, verse 7 is very interesting. He was crucified, died, buried, but rose again on the third day. When he rose again, what were his disciples and apostles still thinking? Now he's going to establish his kingdom. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The interesting answer, Christ said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. So now let's see. If that was not the time, then what is going on? So as we read the scripture, the second portion here says to reveal the mystery of the church. So there is that sense when we read the scripture, especially Romans 11. If you take time, look at Romans 11. There is a partial and temporary blindness happened to Israel. They did not know that. But there is, it's partial because Paul said it, I'm a Jew. I got saved. So God must not have rejected his people. But at that point, it was partial blindness and it's temporary. It's not a permanent blindness because in letter C, it says, until God completes the salvation of the number of Gentiles, he determined to save. Romans 11:25 says, for I would not, brethren, Paul said, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own eyes. It's the idea that blindness in part happened to Israel until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So when we look at Israel, they're being rejected, but not all. It's a partial. And it's not permanent, it's temporary. So again, what is going on in God's program? Because in letter D says, then God will deal with the nation Israel during the great tribulation, followed by his millennial kingdom on earth on the throne of David in Jerusalem. So I just put the notes there between Daniel and Romans, Paul, and Revelation. Remember, this is now future, revealed to John. It was revealed to John when Christ said, there are things to come that the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to them will reveal. And so what is that? There's the kingdom on earth. And so when you look at this, something happened at that particular period of time. Daniel told us about it. You can expect the Messiah will be born sometime during this era, and then he will be cut off, very specific, after 69th week. But there's 1 week, that's 7 years, that Matthew 24 and 25 is speaking about. And in Romans 11, specifically Paul said that, that last week, which is 7 years, is when God will deal with Israel again. Daniel 9:27 said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. By the way, this is the Antichrist. This is the false peace. So if we read that, the first 3.5 years, it seems like, no, we have a world leader, right? Here comes Trump with all the peace on the world. No, I'm just joking. I don't know if it's Trump. But he will be very charismatic and says, hey, the world peace is here. But he, at the end of that 3.5 years, will show who he truly is. And so, in the midst of the week, he shall cause sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. He will be known after that 3.5. So in the middle of that 7. In Romans 11:26, very interesting. Remember, Paul said, no, this is partial blindness. It's not told because I'm a Jew. I got saved. But not too many Jews are being saved. He says in verse 26, he said, and so after God will deal with the Gentiles and Israel, Paul said, and so all Israel shall be what? Shall be saved. And not only that, Paul said, as it is written, there shall come out a sign, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. I highly suggest look at Ezekiel 20. Because some people said, okay, all Israel will be saved. Whether you like it or not, you're a Jew, you will be saved. No, it doesn't say that. Remember, these are all connected. So when you look at Ezekiel 20, you will see the sovereign hand of God. When Jewish people are all scattered. Now, this is tribulation. So we're not talking now. This is when God deals with Israel again, as Daniel pointed out. This is for your people and your holy city. And so in that day, God will plead with them, will gather them. In other words, the gospel will spread and plead with them. And he said, and then he will separate the rebels from among them. And so all Israel will be saved. So it's not new. It's not magic. It's not whether you like it or not. You're Jewish, Cliff. You'll be saved. But you're not Jewish. It is the normal process of the gospel. But of course, we have here prophecy that Paul should know, that we should know what he's talking about, that this deliverer will come out a sign. And so in this case, that last 7 years, the last week, will deal with Israel. Now let's look at the present age to put it together, because we have a gap. After 69th week, Messiah will be cut off. Okay, what happened to 70 week? The tribulation. Did the tribulation happen yet? I'm talking about great tribulation. Because some people will say, hey, the scripture said, you know, we are in our own tribulation. No, this is the great tribulation. Daniel's last week. So it's future. Now we have a problem. Because the Messiah was cut off. But what happened after 69 should be number? So after 69 should be 70. So there is a disconnect, which there is, and this is where the mystery. Remember, I said that day of visitation has that converging prophecies. There's the mystery that revealed itself later on. Let's read this in closing. Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in the other ages was not made known. If you read the Old Testament, what is Paul saying? You cannot find this. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And in verse 6, it says that the Gentiles, and here it is, that the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The mystery of Christ, the one body, Jews and Gentiles. Romans 6:25 says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. We could read the Old Testament and we will not find that there is, yes, there's Abrahamic covenant, but there's a program that is in between the 69th week of Daniel before the beginning of the 70th. Because we know, if we read the 70th week, it's the revelation of the Antichrist. Unless the Antichrist is already revealed, then we have a problem, right? But we don't, because we know what else happened to that seven years, the last 7 years. So there's the mystery involving there. So let's wrap this up. What do we call that? A mystery, because the Bible says, you read the prophets, you won't find this. It was before the world began. No man received this. But now we receive this. So when he came in, triumphal entry, main idea, the king, prophesied, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. He was riding on a colt, lowly. Everything points to him. He was born in Bethlehem. He was Emmanuel, God with us. But once he came in there, he wept and says, if you only knew the peace that you should be receiving today, but now it's hid in your eyes. Then how is Isaiah 53 connected to this? It's the mystery. Isaiah 53 is there, but it's not telling us that's a church. It's telling us how those other prophecies fit within God's program. And so that's why I said the way we read the scripture, I think, supports an idea that God has a program for Israel and not the same as the church. In other words, the Israel has not been replaced with the church, because that's the idea of those systems, the covenantal theology that connects that. But we see it clearly. There is a disconnect. Matthew 10. Now when we close back, we go back in circle and close with this Matthew 10, Matthew 28. So think of that. The kingdom, yes. But it was postponed because they rejected his rule. When it was postponed, Paul said, now you have partial blindness. Now that is temporary, because God is seeking a people for his name from the Gentile, the mystery. And so when we look at this in Matthew 10, this is for the Jewish people. Just like what will happen in time of great tribulation. This is before the cross. When I say this, Matthew 10, it is before the cross. Matthew 28 is after the cross. It's the program for the mystery, where Jews and Gentiles. And so this is where we look at the picture. Someday, that 7 years, the last week of Daniel, will happen. But it will not happen until God's program is done. That's why we call it the mystery, the gap. Sometimes they call it the gap between what? Daniel's prophecy. Daniel said 70th week is determined for Israel and his holy city. But we know from looking at our historical evidences, after Messiah was cut off, the Antichrist was not revealed. So they will come. But today, we look at God's program and say, thank you. I'm not Jewish, I'm Gentile. And so God is saving people, Gentiles, for people for his name. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Wonderful text, but yet profound. When, how could this be? A lot of things that seems like disconnected or at least contradicting, yet when we read it and read it carefully, historically, we come to a place where you have revealed to us things that was never revealed before. And so your grace, only by your grace we are saved through faith. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.